All right, welcome back to Sports Central. You want to hear something nutty for those sports fans out there? You're tired of this transfer portal stuff. You're tired of these players coming and going all the time in college sports, and you want to see kids stay committed because you're committed as a fan. You want them to be committed to your school. Today, Isaiah Brockington, Penn State basketball player, entered the transfer portal for a second time. He was in the portal last month, along with five other key players from the Nittany Lions, after the coaching change, decided to come back, said he believes in Micah Shrewsbury's vision, but then he has decided to re-enter the transfer portal. Ben Jones from statecollege.com joins us. We can talk about the specifics of this particular player, which we will, but just in general, how much are you hearing from people? Ben's got like 20,000 Twitter followers. How much do you hear from people that they're already fed up with the transfer portal and they think that this is out of control?
Maybe some, but I mean, I think that, you know, as long as the team that you are rooting for is getting something out of it as well, I think that for the most part, Penn State fans, at least, as long as, you know, they're not losing Micah Parsons to Ohio State or something like that, and getting some good guys in, because, you know, certainly Penn State has benefited from the portal on a football side, at least so far. There's some people that kind of have that traditionalist attitude about, you've made a commitment and you have to do this for the rest of your life. But I do think, you know, to fans' credit over the years, especially the last couple of years, they've gotten a little bit more open to what are essentially, you know, sort of student athlete rights and the ability to kind of do what they want with their careers. So you see a little bit of both, but I think for the most part, the angry people have quieted down a little bit.
That's interesting, because my experience is the exact opposite. I got a lot of people that post on Facebook that they're pissed. Good riddance. See ya. Don't let the door hit you in the way, in your ass on the way out. I have heard and seen a lot of that. Now, you're right. Penn State football has gotten good players. Arnold Ebikite is a player, defensive end, that came out of the transfer portal from Temple. Penn State will get a better player, I am convinced of it, than Myron Jones. I am convinced that in the portal, they will get a better all-around basketball player, somebody who can do more things than just spot up and shoot threes, than Myron Jones. Now, that doesn't mean Myron Jones is not a big loss, but the portal does work both ways. Micah Shrewsbury, I honestly believe, will be able to get good players out of the portal. But what I've seen from people over the last two or three months is, like, virtually every time a story breaks about anybody transferring, I get these people reaching out to me saying, when is this all going to end? When this thing is already out of control. And I just laugh and I say, that's my typical response, is you ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the new normal. For me, I've always, you know, maybe it's just because I spend so much time doing stuff around sports and meeting these kids, it just, who cares? Like, these guys got to go, they want to play somewhere else, well, go play somewhere else. Like, drawing these big moral conclusions about the quality of a person that Myron Jones is, because he'd rather play at Florida than Penn State for whatever reason, you know, who cares? He wants to go there, some guy's kid's going to come to Penn State, you're going to forget about him, everybody's going to be happy. It is what it is. I just think the whole, you know, I sit down and yell at the Sixers just as much as the next person, and the Eagles make me want to cry, and, you know, I understand what it means to be a fan, but, you know, at some point, you just got to go, it's just sports. If he wants to go somewhere else, let him go somewhere else.
I completely agree with you. I that's where I am. I grew up with free agency in baseball. I watched every Chicago Cubs game was out when I was a kid, and I knew who was going to be on the team for the most part, but then free agency started, and it just changed, and you kind of just get used to it a little bit. And coaches, here's the thing: coaches have been able to come and go left and right at any time, and so I'm actually very much a fan for the players having these rights to be able to go. But this is what it comes down to for me, Ben, a lot with Penn State specific fans, and these are the schools you and I, the school that you and I are most familiar with. Maybe it's like this for other schools, maybe it's not. I tend to believe that a huge, 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 huge portion of Penn State fans are older, are elderly, because they grew up with Joe Paterno. They grew up with one way for 50 years, and that's the only way. And I still think that there is such a large percentage of the fan base that falls into that specific, ultra-specific way of thinking. Look, Joe coached until 2011. I mean, and we never saw an assistant coach leave. We never saw players transfer. We never saw any change at all at Penn State, even though that kind of stuff had been happening in college sports for 20 and 30 years before it finally got to Penn State. So to me, maybe that's what I tend to notice or count on a little bit more, is there are a lot of Penn State fans that anytime there's any change whatsoever, it's still just so new to Penn State fans who grew up with one way.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I think, you know, it's a completely different conversation, but I think that's part of the issue that you have with sports in general when you start to make them so expensive to go to is who's got money, and it tends to be old people, not, you know, kids just out of college or young professionals, as they say, and you start to do that, and then you start to, you know, the sport gets dictated by more traditionalist ideals because the people with the money that are paying for all the things tend to be people that have them. And, you know, I get if someone wants to get unhappy about the fact that Carson Wentz wasn't particularly good the last couple of years and wanted out of Philadelphia and it didn't go well, that's fine. He's getting paid millions and millions of dollars to represent one team. And if he makes you a little grumpy, that's cool. But, you know, if you're an old rich white guy that's a little annoyed with Myron Jones going to Florida because he wants to play basketball, you know, go sit in your hot tub or something. Get over it is my thought.
I love it. I love that line of thinking. So that's where we are now, though. There are going to be players coming and going. I put these numbers out there a little bit. I haven't checked in 2 or 3 days. The number is about 1,400 Division I basketball players in the portal out of 4,600 scholarship players. So you're talking 30%, roughly a third of the college basketball players in the country in the portal. 16-17% for football, probably end up around 19-20%. So we've been talking about you. I had you on the show a long time, but we've talked about this a lot. We've been preparing for this for a year. But if I were to tell you 40% ultimately, by the time this year is over, 40% of college basketball players could end up being in the portal at one point, wouldn't that number still be pretty mind-boggling to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a lot of people. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, if you want to have a general conversation as a sporting society about whether it's good for the sport to have that many guys coming and going, you know, that's fair. But I do think that, you know, I would be interested in finding out when it's all said and done, you know, how many of them actually left versus, you know, if I had the ability to put my name into the transfer portal and say, hey, anybody in America who wants to talk to me, I'll take that phone call. You know, that seems like a reasonable, if nothing else, especially if you're a guy that's maybe not playing a lot or wants more minutes or wants a different situation, that seems like a good, quote-unquote, business decision. Now, how many of them go, you know, I guess we'll see. But certainly there's no doubt that when basically, you know, if we continue to round up and just say half of everybody in college basketball has considered or has put their name in the portal, you know, that's certainly a lot of that's a lot of change. But certainly, like you kind of mentioned, college basketball has always sort of been the transfer portal without the transfer portal. So at least it's something they're slightly familiar with.
Yeah, that's a great point that Ben makes of how many of these guys are just going to ultimately end up staying. That this is just a test. This is an opportunity for them to see, to test the market, to see what there is. And as we often find out in life in a lot of different ways, the grass is not always greener on the other side. James Franklin said something really fascinating. I touched on this a little bit with Matt Fortuna yesterday when we were talking about some of this, Ben. At the end of his press conference last week, and you were on it, and I'm sure this probably caught your attention. Ralph Russo from the Associated Press was asking James Franklin about the changes because of the transfer portal. And Ralph had said, well, because news is going to come out tomorrow that the new rule is finally passed and they're going to announce it. And James Franklin, do you remember what James said, Ben? He goes into this really editorializing, fascinating insight of a comment where he says, I don't think it's necessarily going to be all that different because people have been gaming this for a while. They know when they transfer. They know what to say to gain the waiver. And I thought, you know what, this, I've always wondered this too. I haven't heard coaches come out and actually say it very often, Ben. Let me point a couple of different things out here. If you're a player, if you're a Justin Fields and you transfer from Georgia to Ohio State, you can say whatever you feel like you need to say in order to become eligible. And there are certain things in our society, and this is what James Franklin was alluding to, they're not going to fight it. They're just going to say, okay, we'll grant you the waiver, and that kids have been doing this for a while anyway. And I will be perfectly honest with you. I'm not sure that I've ever said this publicly, but I will say it now. The very first time I heard the Rasir Bolton news, I immediately thought, okay, did he just say some things in order to become eligible at Iowa State? I feel badly about even thinking that now, because Rasir Bolton, actually something did happen. Pat Chambers did use the word noose. But if you follow my line of thinking, if we've got a bunch of kids out there just saying anything and everything under the sun so that they can become eligible, how dangerous is something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tricky. I mean, when James said those comments, I don't know who he had in mind. I think Justin Fields is sort of the obvious first thing that comes to mind, but, you know, I don't think we'll ever really know the totality of that situation, so I don't want to speak on that. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, if anything, the transfer portal sort of alleviates the need for those sorts of things, because then you don't have to come up with a reason. You just want to transfer. Well, oh yeah, cool. Now you can transfer and you can do that, and we don't have to have
these. We don't have to worry about it. Don't you think it was interesting, though, that James pointed that out? He's not said that specifically to that degree, but don't you get the feeling that there's a lot of coaches around the country that probably feel the same way, that kids were transferring, saying whatever, just so that they could become eligible?
Yeah, and I mean, you even think of guys that didn't say anything that tried to get, you know, I think they get lost in the shuffle somewhere because it happened a very long time ago. You know, Rob Bolden tried to transfer once, and Joe, you know, blocked the transfer and said no, and Penn State didn't even particularly want Joe, you know, Rob Bolden to be playing quarterback anymore, and they still kept him. And, you know, I think, you know, James had mentioned that, yeah, and then you get all these bad news headlines because they're not letting you go, and then you're not letting you do this, X, Y, or Z, so guys get good at saying all the right things. Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting dynamic, and I will note, just for the matter of the record, that Rasir Bolton has transferred again, which is interesting in its own right. But yeah, I do think it's an interesting dynamic, and hopefully, you know, for the sake of, you know, people speaking out about things that actually matter, that when you don't have to do that anymore, that the people that say something really mean it.
That was only 11 years ago. One of my all-time favorite quotes from Penn State football was Matt McGloin saying he was a good backup. That was your typical Matt McGloin. I love Matt McGloin. He was a good back. But no, they didn't want Rob Bolden to leave because they didn't have anybody else to play court. But that's what we're talking about here. That was just 11 years ago. And 11 years might seem like a long time, but it's not. So think about where we've gone from then 11 years ago. Or Pitt had the kid, the basketball player, I think it was Cameron Johnson, who went to North Carolina, and Kevin Stallings fought it. They didn't want him transferring within the same conference. And if you ask Neil Riddell and some of the old-time reporters, you would never, ever, ever, oh my God, you would never allow a transfer to a kid in your own conference. Now Jamari Wheeler goes to Ohio State. Nobody blinks an eye. Who gives a damn? That's just the way it is. These things, when they keep changing like this, I mean, hell, what's going to happen? One of these days, you got Pitt scheduled in week 4, and you transfer after week 2, and then you go play against your own team 2 weeks later. I mean, is something that ridiculous really that far-fetched?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it is not. I mean, I do kind of understand the whole not wanting the inter-transfers or the inter-conference transfers. I can sort of understand that, but you know, I think in the long run, unless, you know, Micah Parsons is leaving for Ohio State in week 3 and I'll see you in week 5, you know, it's probably one of those things that I have found coaches to be a little bit more paranoid than reality allows, perhaps. But certainly, you know, you can't write out that sort of odd situation where it comes back to bite you.
John Petitschnock, the kid that went from Penn State to Pitt. Remember that? We had to deal with all that kind of stuff with. Maybe did they change the playbook or something? Did they do some things to change things up? Because I remember there was a little bit of an issue with that.
I think they changed a couple things, but I think if John Pastrnak is the reason that you lose the pit, then you know you probably have different issues at that point.
You know, John Hara come. I wrote what I thought was a pretty damn good column last night. How the first month for Micah Shrewsbury could not have gone any better, and then I wake up this morning and Isaiah Brockington is in the transfer portal. So that changes things a little bit. But again, I feel absolutely confident they can find a better player than Myron Jones. There are shooters. There are hundreds of shooters in the transfer portal. I think they might have a more difficult time finding a player equal of Isaiah Brockington because he can do a lot of different things. I certainly thought they were not going to find another John Hara. I didn't think that – not Penn State. There are players better than John Hara in the portal, but not that they were going to come to Penn State to be one of the top big men in the Big Ten. So where do you find where do you think Penn State basketball stands at this point after really all the comings and goings, taking into account this Brockington news today, the assistant coaches that Micah Shrewsbury's hired? Where is the program now versus where you thought it might have been about 2 or 3 months ago?
I mean, I think they're in a better spot than I anticipated. I think we knew that Jamari was going to go. I don't think that that's a surprise given the how vocal he was about everything. I thought he might just go pro and try and play somewhere. I didn't necessarily think he was going to transfer. The assistants, they seem to be good. They seem to have good recruiting ties and interesting background. I think it's really interesting to me, and it's a different conversation, that you know a lot of the guys that Pat Chambers hired originally he had worked with, and really most of the guys that Micah Shrewsbury has hired he has some connections to or maybe has sort of crossed paths with. That hasn't really worked with. So I think it brings an interesting dynamic there from experiences. I think, you know, I do agree that Brockington is going to be a difficult guy to replace just because he was really good off the bench. He's got a unique athleticism and can do a lot of different things. But overall, I mean, I think in the grand scheme, you're asking the question, are they better off than they were when they started this whole process 10 years ago? And I think by and large, it's hard to question the fact that they are absolutely in a better place than they were 10 years ago. And that's really all you need with the coaching changes, that, you know, maybe you take a step or two back, but they can win some of these battles on the recruiting trail. If they can do well in the portal, they seem to have all the parts. And I do think the Brockington thing, I don't know anything that you don't know, or maybe you know more than me, but you know, I think it's a different dynamic with the transfer portal, that you have a kid who seems perfectly happy. And then overnight, something happens.
Well,
and he suddenly wants to get into the portal, and what sort of dynamics do you have to work with there? I don't want to say the tampering word, I just said it, but
yeah.
you know, you wonder how that sort of works out.
But what Ben's probably alluding to is, I mean, there seems to be all kinds of speculation out today that he's going to North Carolina. There seems to be this notion that this is already a done deal, that he's going to North Carolina. I've not seen any reputable source confirm this, but fans have been talking about it all day. And if that's the case, I mean, Ben said the word. I don't know if anybody's tampering or not, but if Isaiah Brockington signs with North Carolina tonight, or anybody tonight, I think they would have to be smart to wait at least a few days and at least make it seem like there was some delay here. But that's the kind of thing that's going to keep happening when these kids are in the portal and these coaches, and they have access to AAU coaches, they have access to your parents, they have access to your high school coaches. The recruiting is not going to end ever. I mean, really, Ben, are we not in a never-ending recruiting cycle now, that somebody is always going to be talking to somebody that knows a player?
Yeah. I mean, and to a certain extent, it's probably always happened, but I think that's why it's important to, you know, they talk about fit and all these sort of cliche recruiting phrases and words, but I do think that that's important for a guy like John Hara to find guys that are going to be committed to their commitment. And I don't want to backtrack on what I said about, you know, I think it's great that these guys get to go and do whatever they want, but I do think you build programs with guys who want to stick around through thick and thin. And I think, you know, part of that, how do you keep guys from transferring just because they got an interesting phone call, is you get guys that are sort of committed to that process. And that's not to say that Isaiah Brockington doesn't like Penn State, but, you know, maybe you get more guys than not when some, you know, coach or AAU guy calls you up and says, hey, what do you think about X, Y, or Z? You go, nah, I'm cool where I am. I'm going to come off the bench. I'm going to play. I'm going to make a difference. You know, it's not for everybody. We'll see where he ends up. But I do think that, you know, you're right, that it's sort of, recruiting season is always going to be there. It's just a matter of finding guys that feel like staying put.
Yeah, pretty wild. We've already seen massive changes just in the last few months, and I'm just looking forward to, just as an observer, to see what happens over the next 5, 10 years. Will it always just continue to be this massive influx of people in the portal? You brought up a great point that maybe you just enter the portal just to see what's out there. Will the trend reverse course, and maybe people will realize after 3, 5, 10 years, yeah, you know, based on past experiences, that grass isn't always greener on the other. I find it fascinating to think of what could end up happening over the next handful of years, because this is something that's really just brand new.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look back at, you know, the first year the transfer portal happened, you know, I think it was 11 guys transferred from Penn State football, and everyone went, oh, this guy is falling, James has lost the team. And then, you know, a few years later, here they are reaping the benefits of it. So I think, you know, until we have more data, until we have a few more years of expectation and trend setting with the whole thing, you know, I think every offseason is going to bring a little something different until, you know, to steal the economic phrase, the market corrects itself.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Ben Jones from statecollege.com. Thanks for the time. That's a good discussion, buddy. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks for having me, Corey.